So today, that's what we're talking about, connecting with others, like a good sports team, any good sports team. Like I told you before, my kids have played different sports across the years, and one of the things that they learned is that they are as good as the other people, and they're only as good as the other people on the team, that they can be a great, outstanding player and not have a good team with them, and that's, you know, they're a great player on their own, and they still lose. Now, one of the things that I have been privileged to do, this isn't about me. By the way, none of the sermon is like how cool Bert is. I know you think I'm pretty cool already. But this isn't about that. Because I get to be part of something amazing, right? I mean, we're all sitting, many of us are sitting with Team Jesus buttons. Have you thought about how amazing this is? This is billions of people over thousands of years making sense of who this man was and what he was asking us to do and who God is and what God is leading us into. Every year I get to be part of conversations with new pastors, and I teach them a class. I've done it for 15 years now. It's a real privilege for me, but it's also a responsibility. And one of the things that I tell new pastors, and I try to tell them in as most enthusiastic way as I can, that this is the best job ever, right? You get to work 1 hour on Sunday, right? It's not heavy lifting. No, I don't mean that at all. But it is amazing some of the things that you get to witness and be part of and actually encounter as you're going through. But you know what? It's not just me. It's not just, hey, the preacher gets to do the cool stuff. I've been a witness to that this week. On Tuesday night, we launched that partnership that I told you about earlier in the service. This is work that is done to promote literacy inside of our community, English literacy and Spanish literacy, not to prefer or to, kind of like do anything political or anything other than to help people be able to function inside of their community. If you can't understand what is being said to you, it becomes a very scary place. And many of us in this room are English speakers, and the majority around us oftentimes speaks English. But you have maybe had that situation where you have stepped into an environment where you're not speaking the majority language, or you're not the person that looks like the people around you. It's disorienting, and it's hard, and it brings up all kinds of feelings. And there are people that are in our neighborhoods that constantly have to navigate that kind of thing all the time. So the work, which Sterling Middle School said, we have parents that can't understand what we're trying to ask them about their kids. They can't parent as well. They can't function as well inside of those really heavy, important things that they're supposed to do. Can you help us? And we said, yeah, we can do that. So did Loudoun Literacy. So with a team of volunteers on Tuesday night, we launched into this, and I got to be part of that. I got to witness it. I didn't sign up for something. I figured I would show up to kind of plug holes. There were no holes for me to plug because you signed up, and you did that work. I I watched different people on Tuesday night, and then later on Thursday night, same thing, I watched different people come together around a particular purpose, not knowing each other, not necessarily being able to identify or trust or always communicate, but to come around. And I saw, Sharon and Danny on Tuesday night stepped in to a class with very little toys, very little kind of resources, and started caring for kids. And they did an amazing job. And then Faye and Joan did the same thing on Thursday. They stepped in not knowing anybody. I mean, it's nerve-wracking, right? Wasn't it fun, Joan? Joan's got a look on her face like, oh, you should have stuck around, Bert. But you did it. You stepped up in love of another human being, actually little tiny little human being, and their parents, and made a way for them to have a better place in this world. That is the call that we have. Jesus was asked, who is our neighbor? Jesus is asked that actually several times, and his responses are pretty profound. His responses have a lot to do with erasing barriers that we might try to put up. One time someone said, hey, what about dinner parties? Should we invite these kind of people or what? Jesus teaches, but he doesn't have a lot of time for that. Because when we look at each other, honestly, we are looking at people that are made in the very image of God. You can look them in the eye and see the very image of God. Even when it's hard to feel comfortable and to trust. So I had an opportunity to help out with making sure that we had snacks. You have helped provide snacks for folks. These are people coming without dinner, really, a lot of them. And it's hard to learn when you're hungry. And it's important to kind of keep people going physically. So I would go and count the number of people that were in the room to make sure that we had enough snacks so I could bring them. And this one particular room, which had, there was a lot of people. Linda was in that room, number two, right? Level two, number room. And so I would peek around the door. It's in the middle school, so there's glass doors. I would peek around the door, and they would see me. The students would see me. And they didn't know me from anybody. I mean, some of them, we did not meet at all, or we had just met. But they, I'll be honest with you, I forget really well. So much so that I would count the number of people in the room, and halfway down the hall, I would forget the number of people that I counted, right? You don't have this problem. But my forgetter is excellent. I have an Olympic-grade forgetter. So I would get halfway down the hall, and I'm like, dadgummit. And so I'd have to turn around. And so, do you remember this? I would sneak my head around, and I would count them again. And they would look at me like, what are you doing? And then more people would show up, and I would forget the number that I counted before, so I'd have to go back and count them again. I think I counted that room like five times that night. And each time, a worried look occurred on people, because what is he doing and what is happening? Then, when I walked in the room and handed the snacks to Linda, I got some cred. This has been a week where we have worried so much about immigration enforcement. And then we had to worry about people coming and acting like immigration enforcement agents and harassing people. This is part of the world that we have been working our way through. And still, we kept going and people showed up. Yesterday, we had Grace here. There were a lot of extra volunteers at Grace, is that right? We had a few extra people that were there. And I came. Now, I have tried really hard over the years to reserve Saturday mornings for my family. And so it's been really hard to kind of like not necessarily always be here with Grace. And I feel, I feel torn about that, because my family and I, we don't see each other a lot. And I know your families are navigating that sort of thing too. So I haven't been as frequently a volunteer at Grace as I would have liked to have been. But I know that it's been a rough couple of weeks for lots and lots of people, so I came. And I had an opportunity to serve, but I know that if you've ever been part of Grace, there's room for volunteers, but it's also a pretty well-oiled machine. People have talked to each other and become partners with each other, and they know each other. And one of the cool things about that is the conversations that happen between people as they are, you know, working side by side. If you've worked in Grace, you know, you kind of like talk to your neighbor about things. You fuss about the leadership, of course, you know. But then you also, I heard people talking about where they grew up yesterday. And I heard people, you know, really kind of working together as a unit. It would be wonderful to be able to kind of like have one person sort of take care of the whole thing. But that's not going to happen. That's not practical or wise or safe. So we have this really kind of amazing, well-functioning machine that is a jewel in the crown here. There are other jewels for sure, but Grace is one of them, and it's beautiful to see. That's the kind of community that we need. That's the kind of community that actually shows up for each other and cares for each other, working side by side, like the choir, singing side by side. Sorry about the joke I made earlier. Forgive me. But working side by side, singing side by side, and knowing each other. And then when you have something going on, like I've got this health problem, or I've got this thing with my kid, you're with each other. Musical groups oftentimes turn into small therapy groups. They really do. Y'all don't need therapy, but I'm saying. We need each other. We need each other in spite of our boundaries and barriers. We don't have to be uniform. We don't have to think alike or act alike or dress alike or look alike or love alike or whatever. But we need each other. When churches forget that, or they get into a place of, we don't need you, we certainly don't need her, and definitely they can go, that's when we stop being church. We need each other. We are born with a fundamental connection socially, psychologically, and we have to live through that. As much as we might try to put barriers up or say, well, that person's not acceptable, or do you remember what they did years ago? Do you remember what you did years ago? Come on. And in the midst of even caring for each other, we find ourselves helping each other. So one of the things I did yesterday, privileged privileged I was to do this, I got to pray with people. So what I would do is, in the, you know, the way grace works is cars work their way. Get in queue. It's a lot of cars. Get in queue, work their way around the building, and then back up towards the circle. And there is a screening process where people figure out what is needed, and they come up with their ticket, basically. And then this, like a pit crew, comes out, and it's wild. It's like NASCAR right out there in the circle, and they come out, and they put food in the back, and they wash the windows. They change the tires. There's gas that goes in. It's kind of cool because they get the helmets and the suit and everything. I'm exaggerating just a little bit, but it's amazing. So what I did is I walked up to people and I said, my name is Habla Inglés, and they would say, just a little, and I'd say, me too, you know. And I had a card explaining who I was and what I was wanting to do, and I said, can I pray with you? Just, can I pray with you? I had a few declines, and that's totally okay. And I had to kind of say, it's okay to say no. But for the most part, people were very appreciative that someone was praying with them, but they didn't know at first, right? So right at first, it was like, you want to what? Or, huh? And there was some confusion over the logistics. I'm like, right here, right now, I'd like to pray with you. And we would pray. Now, I learned about people with kidney transplant, horrible situation inside their family. I learned about shoulders and children. I learned about things that people could not say. And I learned about myself, because I was cold and I was tired. But I found I could keep going with people I didn't know, who didn't trust me, some. You can do that. You can do that. And I found that people were caring for me. There was this one gentleman who I saw him do this with the screener, and I wasn't sure what it was about, but he was handing him something. And so when he got to me, he handed me a hot hand. Do you know what I mean? One of those little pouches with a chemical kind of reaction. You like do the thing with it, and then you stick it in your gloves, and it helps warm your hands. And so he had one of those for me. I think he had those for a number of people. And how thoughtful that was, because it was cold. It was snowing, and I swear it was about 2 degrees. Or it felt like it, you know. And so, and he was selling me on it. Like, yeah, you do this. And I'm like, are you trying to sell me this hot hand? No, I want you to have it, you know. He's thinking of the people that are caring for him. So I take my hot hand, and I'm happy. I got it right here. And it's waiting, you know. It's going to be used soon. The next car, I walk up to a lady, and I'm telling her who I am and what I'm doing. And I said, can I, and before I could even finish what she was saying, she said, stop. And she dug around in her, the door of her car and gave me a tissue and said, your nose is really red. Now, my mama told me that if someone offers you a mint, you take that mint. If someone offers you a tissue, you need to take that tissue. I didn't know if there was something else hanging out or something. Might be now. I don't know. But she cared enough for the person that was trying to help her. We need each other. We need each other in enormous ways and we need each other in very, very small ways, but we need each other. Years ago, I wrote a very large project about hope. And I studied it, researched it, thought about it, and that sort of thing. And it was a project about personal hope, how you look at the world, how you look at the situation that is in front of you, how you make sense of how God is at work inside of those moments makes a difference. I mean, hope is downgraded sometimes because it gets into like, oh, well, you're just being wishful. But there's amazing research to suggest that there's huge outcome differences when a patient is approaching a very serious condition with hope. And that's what my thought was. Hope is an individual thing. And a very loving, wonderful man said, and it also makes a huge difference in the world. You missed that completely. That my outcome also depends on you. My health and our community's health depends on you. We depend on each other in that. What happens next depends on how we are, who we are with each other. We need each other. I know it's divisive right now. I know that there are people, I watched family members tear each other apart just this week on social media and in other ways. There's so much that works to divide us. Still, we are all created in the image of God by that loving God to do what? To love as God loves. We need each other. And that's hard. But just like, you know, some preacher can stand out in the snow for a few minutes, we can do this. I'm telling you all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.